Greetings and welcome to this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit, where you will discover what it takes to start, build, and fund your nonprofit. I am your host, Sandra Chaney, and today we're going to talk about the importance of a story behind starting your nonprofit. So is starting a nonprofit right for you? And my guest today is Lauren Patterson. And Lauren's going to really share her story first and foremost, because there's always a story behind starting a nonprofit. So she's going to share her story, and then we're going to delve into her why and so many other things. So let me give you a little bit of background on Lauren. Lauren earned her Bachelor's of Science degree in Business Management and an MBA from the University of Phoenix. She has worked in the hotel industry, property management, and facilities management with a focus on customer service. She is living proof that the human heart can withstand many hardships. Lauren has overcome suicidal depression, survived three turbulent marriages and numerous relationships, but she never stopped trying to improve herself. Every experience in life has pointed her down roads she didn't understand at the time, but maybe she wasn't meant to. Left to discover her unique truth, Lauren has overcome the odds and continues finding success. She met and married the love of her life in 2017. Is the proud mother of seven and a grandmother of three. Her first book, Freeing Your Heart for Love, will be released in early 2021 and is available for pre-order. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sandra, for having me.
So let's just start with your story, because your story really is amazing. And as I said in the beginning, that with every nonprofit, there's always a story behind why we want to start a nonprofit. Even when I started mine, I had my own story. So I really want you to really, you know, summarize as much as you can your story, because I want the listening audience to hear you. And then we're going to talk about your decision on why you wanted to start a nonprofit. So please let us hear your amazing story.
Yes, thank you. So my journey starts really at the age of 16. I grew up in an abusive home. My parents divorced when I was young, and they were both mentally and physically abusive. And I was back and forth living with my parents. So I had a broken support system at a very young age, and I don't remember a lot of my childhood, which is why I start my journey at the age of 16, because that was the first time that I had suicidal thoughts. I remember looking up at the big, beautiful sky, wanting to take my life, and I didn't know where all that was coming from, and I didn't have anyone to go to and talk to about it. So I ended up running away with a boyfriend that I had at the time, because I thought if I ran away, you know, I could mm-hmm. show my mom that she'll miss me, and, you know, she'll come mm-hmm. looking for me. And I think I was seeking attention, and she did look for me. She didn't find me, but I ended up going back home because I needed to finish high school. And I was like, I just need to go back and finish this, and then I'll leave. And the plan was just to move out with this guy. Well, my mom's husband at the time didn't like us, so he convinced this guy to marry me. And so I married him at the age of 17. My mom had to sign papers to basically give me away to this man. And I went into 9 more years of mental and physical abuse with this man. You know, I didn't know the type of person he was. We just kind of jumped into a marriage because I thought if I married him, I would be happy. But mm-hmm. It just went into were a worse environment for me. I had 2 amazing boys with him, but that was all that came out of that marriage. Everything uh-huh. else was very, very unhealthy. And so, you know, I finally got the courage to leave him when he went to prison, and I got built up the courage to leave. And so we finally divorced, and I still was kind of struggling with the mental health. You know, I was always uh-huh. looking for love outside of myself, because I didn't know what self-love was. I didn't know how to care for myself. So I always seeked it in other people. And so that's what I kind of did for about 29 years of my life. I married a second time. I had 2 more amazing boys. That marriage didn't work out because I carried a lot of the baggage from the first marriage of that trauma. And so it kind of just carried into the second, and then eventually into the third, which was, I call my rock bottom relationship, because that marriage and what he did to me was the lesson that I had to learn from the universe to wake up and transform your life, start loving yourself, start valuing your body. And that's at the age of 42, that's when I transformed my life and started seeking help to live a happy life. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be happy inside. And so that's when I kind of discovered self-love, practiced, you know, positive affirmations, and found spirituality in a Buddhist practice. And so that's kind of where I really started transforming.
You know, you said something about looking for love outside of yourself. You know, that old cliche popped into my mind, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm. You
know? I could relate a little bit to your story on many, many levels. And I'm excited that you know, you're on the other side of it, and now you want to start a nonprofit. How did you decide that?
Well, I was, and as you know, I was on Facebook and I was on this group, and I've been looking for, you know, to get on people's podcasts, and I came across yours, and I've always wanted to do a nonprofit with this book, but I didn't know how to start it. And I was like, well, let me just reach out to Sandra and see if she can help me, you know, and I had no idea you're going to respond to me. But when you did, and when we talked, I was filled with so much emotion. I could not stop talking about it with my husband. I went upstairs after we talked and I was just crying. And I was like, babe, this is it. This is the nonprofit I have to start. I have to start now. And I swear, Sandra, like, I was like, I don't know where the emotion was coming from, but something like,
wow,
from our conversation just like went through me and into me, and it was in my soul. And I was like, even now, as I talk about it, I get emotional because that's how passionate I am about helping people. I've always wanted to help people, even in my career as a facilities manager, as a property manager, it's customer service, but I want to take it to that personal level. I don't want it to be a career. I want it to come from the passion inside me, inside my soul, to give out to people who need help.
Wow. You know, thank you for sharing that part, you know, about the tears flowing. And I honestly, I feel like, as you said that, I could feel your passion. Even, you know, as we're doing this podcast, I was just like, wow. You know, that's how I was when I started my nonprofit. I too was filled with passion. But before I got there, there was a little fear in me about starting this nonprofit, about failing, you know, about feeling not being able to serve the people the way that I want to serve them. Did you feel any of that, any fear, any intrepidation about, because any kind of business, you know, you're fearful of it. But a nonprofit is a little bit different when you're thinking about, where's the money going to come from? How am I going to do this? Was there any fear when you first thought about this decision?
Yes. So that's what held me back was, you know, how am I going to do this? You know, I didn't know that there was any resources to help you out there. And I was like, how am I going to come up with the money? But the money just came in, you know, so the money was there. And I was like, okay, now I have the money. So now how am I going to put this plan into action? And yeah, I was afraid of failing, mostly as, are people going to want to come, you know, are they going to want to come to my organization?
Right.
Do they think I can help them? You know, and it was that whole thing about, will they like me? But like I said, I've been in customer service all my life. I know how to work with people. I know how to build that connection and that rapport. So I know that human connection is something that I've mastered in my life. And I know that I can reach people because it's in my heart, and whatever's in my heart, it will come out. You know, and it just shines out to the world.
And, you know, customer service is key, even when you're doing nonprofit work. I like that you really keep interjecting that. It's the customer service piece, because no matter what business you're in, and again, nonprofits, you're still a business, you know, even though you may think you're not, but you are. Customer service is so key when you're servicing the community. Mm-hmm. It's a part of who you are. And you really have a skill set that maybe so many people don't have when it comes to starting a nonprofit, because it's like, so many people are so service, you know, oriented, and, you know, they still forget about the little things that you need in order to make the community feel like they are important. So I like that you talk about customer service and the human factor. Let's talk about your why though. Let's talk about your why and why this is so important to you, because you do have a book and you did say that you want to take this book, and this book is a part of your why for your nonprofit. Talk a little bit about that. And because the why behind your nonprofit is so important.
Yes. I go back to the why of why I wrote the book to begin with. And, you know, I had talked about it for over a decade with my friends jokingly, because they would hear my experiences. And although it was very sad what I was going through, they didn't know I was sad. They thought it was entertaining. And they were like, wow,
oh, wow,
you know, you should write a book. And I'm like, really? And they would be like, yeah, you can make a movie out of your life. And they didn't know how much sadness I was going through, but they were entertained by it. And, you know, I kind of just dropped it. I'm like, I can't write a book. I don't read books. I'm not good in school. I got my master's degree, but barely, you know, I wasn't a straight A student. And, you know, I was just like, wow, I can't write a book. But then in April of last year, I joined a virtual writing workshop just for fun, just to write creative writing. But with the writing prompts, I was just filled with emotion again. And I just opened up my computer and started writing my book. And I said, I am going to write this book to inspire just one person. If I can inspire just one person and help one person, then that is why I'm writing this book, because it has a lot of personal experiences that nobody knows about. But I felt like I needed to share this because there are women out there that probably feel like they don't have a voice. They feel like they're stuck in a relationship or wherever they're at in their life. And I wanted to show them that you can overcome severe suicidal depression, which is what I had, mm-hmm. and failed marriages and still be lovable. You know, I met my husband now and he is truly the man that I was supposed to be with my entire life. So it's like, mm-hmm. don't give up on love, because love does exist.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So starting a nonprofit also means that you have to know who your audience will be, just like with your books. You have to know who your target audience, because you can't serve everybody, right? So have you thought of giving any thought to who that audience would be?
Yeah. So I go back to my publisher asking me who your target audience is for your book. And at first I said, well, everybody. And she was like, she's like, no, that's not how it works.
I said that too. I just heard everybody, because yeah. anybody can read this book. Yes.
And she goes, you know, although men might like your book, I think you're more towards the women. And I said, okay. So I kind of said, yeah, you're right. I mean, men might be entertained by my book, but I don't think it's really for a man. So I kind of narrowed it down to, you know, women in their 30s to maybe 55, you know, and mm-hmm. kind of that audience. But even she said, like, that range, that age range is too broad. And I was like, okay, well, what do I do? Right. So mm-hmm. I'm still kind of like trying to figure that out. But I feel like my book is releasing the end of this month. And I was like, I'll just organically know what my target audience is, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's going to sell. And whoever, I always say, I'm not trying to serve the ocean, right? If
right.
My book is going to reach the right people. And that's what I've been saying since I wrote this book, is my book will reach the right people.
And it parlays back into the nonprofit as well, because just like you can't serve the ocean with your book, you mm-hmm. cannot. It's the same thing with a nonprofit. You do have to narrow down who your target audience is, because when it comes to funding, you want to make sure that you're going after the right funding. And the only way to know that is to understand who your target population will be, their needs. What is it that, you know, you want to offer them? So when we come back from this commercial break, we're going to talk about that, because Lauren says something so key to her, you know, her publisher said, it's still too broad, right? And so we want to really help you guys narrow that down and get a better understanding of whether is it too broad? Because maybe it's too broad for a book, but it might not be too broad for a nonprofit. So we shall see when we come back after this commercial break.
Greetings, I am Sandra Chang, and I'm so excited about my new podcast, The Prophet in the Nonprofit. It's going to be held every Thursday at 9 a.m. And guess what? You're going to learn how to make a profit in your nonprofit, how to set it up, and how to get funding. That's every Thursday at 9 a.m. See you there. Greetings. I am Sandra Chang, and I'm so excited about my new podcast, The Prophet in the Nonprofit. It's going to be held every Thursday at 9 a.m. And guess what? You're going to learn how to make a profit in your nonprofit, how to set it up, and how to get funding. That's every Thursday at 9 a.m. See you there.
So welcome back, everyone. I am your host, Sandra Chaney, and we're talking with Lauren Patterson. And our topic today is talking about, is starting a nonprofit right for you? And when we, right before the commercial break, we talked about your target population. And we talked about, you know, as Lauren said, I can't serve the ocean. And that is so true. You know, whether, you know, she wrote a book, you know, and her book, she's parlaying that honestly into a nonprofit, but providing specific services based on what she went through and the things that were missing in her life. But we talked about her target population, and the ages were what, Lauren, from what, 30, you said, to 55?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and here's the deal about, I want to share about that, because her publisher said that it still may be too broad, but this is the deal about, you know, a nonprofit, in that nonprofits 30 to 55 is not necessarily a broad range for a nonprofit. What most nonprofits need to understand is that when you are narrowing down your target population, look at the services you want to offer. Look at the data based on those services for that particular target population. The data will tell you who you should be serving, and the range of ages for this particular, and determining the type of money you're going to go after will also determine who. Oh, I dropped my phone. Sorry. Okay. Wow, today is special. Okay. Back to, all right, pause 1 second. All right. So the data will determine what the ages you should could serve. So in Lauren's case, her age is 30 to 55. If you heard her story, she talked about mental health. She talked about abuse, especially I'm assuming more verbal and emotional. Correct, Lauren?
Yes.
Not necessarily physical. Okay. So when you think about that, you think about 30 to 55, technically you could even talk to younger people. And here's what I want to say. You could have several different types of programs. You could have the program for somebody who's 30 to 55. You could also find a program for, you know, for the younger generation, but you have to pick one group first, and you have to start somewhere first. And that's what you have to do. And so, Lauren, it is good that your publisher gave you that advice, as you can't, you got to pick somebody, because you do. Mm-hmm. And it's great that you're going to start with 30 to 55. So know that that's a good age, you know, a good age range to start, because data does show that, you know, when we get to be in our 30s and our 40s and our 50s, that's when we're kind of ready to start dealing with our own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, some people, you know, have been through already one marriage, you know, if they've married at a young age like me. And so it's kind of you're right. You're like trying to figure out your life at that point. You know, like, I'm getting old. You know, I when I was in my 30s, young 30s, I was like, wow, I'm going to be 35. I better figure this out.
You know? Right. See, exactly. And so sometimes you have to look at where you are and where you began to think of, and what were you looking for at 35? Because you said, I was a single mom. I was trying to find services for myself, you know? So that's why I'm saying there's a story behind why you want to do this, but there's also a why, and you have to be very, very clear about your why. So here's a question I'm always asking those who are interested in starting a nonprofit. Is this something you would do even if you did not have the money?
Yes, definitely.
And why would you do that?
Because I go back to my why, you know, I want to help people. I want to inspire people. That's my passion. And I mean, if I could have wrote the book for free and give it out for free, I would. But, you know, of course, there's expenses that come along with it. So, you know, I don't financially, I can't do that. But if I could financially just do all of this free of charge, I would do that.
And that's the thing, I think that that is the thing that nonprofits or people who want to start a nonprofit forget. And a lot of times they do this for free. That's how they start out. They start out, you know, people who want to feed the homeless, they start out with, you know, packing sandwiches in their kitchen and going, you know, to a place where homeless is, and they start, you know, feeding people that way. Or they go and they prepare lots of food and they take it and they set up and they feed the homeless. And that's how some people start. And I always say this, I always say that doesn't mean that you have to start a nonprofit because you want to go and feed the homeless or because you want to help someone who has mental health issues or because of your own story. You have to be willing to understand that it's going to take a lot of effort to get this done. It really is going to take a lot of effort to get it done. So what will keep you going when challenges arise? Because they're going to arise. I mean, in any business, whether it's for-profit or nonprofit, challenges do arise. And sometimes you want to throw in the towel. I know, because on many occasions with my nonprofit, although I don't have it now, I remember getting started. And I saw it as fun in the very beginning, it didn't become fun anymore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of mistakes were made, the mistakes I couldn't come back from. So how will you keep going when challenges arise?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like the challenges will come, and they will be probably hard, but I'm number one, going to put out really good energy into the universe that this will succeed. And I will have, you know, the right people will be in my life to get this started, get this going, continue to do this program that I will be doing. But also, I've always had strong will and determination, even at a very young age. I've always have been a career goal-oriented, task-oriented mindset. And I know that once I put my mind to something, just like how I overcame suicidal depression, how I found self-love, I never give up. And giving up is not an option for me. So I feel like with that in my head and that kind of mindset, I know that I can overcome challenges. It may be hard at times, but I know that I can.
Wow. And I think it's also that stick-to-itiveness that people, if this is something that you really, really want to do, is important. And having, I think, the right people around, like the right board of directors, the right volunteers, the right mentors or coaches, having the right people around you to help you keep going, even in the midst of it, because nonprofits are important to the community. And you need to know your story. You need to know your why. You need to narrow down your target population because it is very, very important. And you just need to understand that there are going to be some challenges that may arise in the midst of it. And doesn't mean the money won't come. It will. But you have to keep going so that people can see, because donors will give. But just like people who do business with you, they do business with you because they do business with people that they like, that they know and that they trust. And they have to trust that you're going to still be around. Can you just share in these last few minutes a little bit about, if you know this already, about your nonprofit in terms of what you want to give back to the world and how you want to help those who are like you? Any services that you may have thought about? If you have an idea what your mission you might be, because you never know who's listening, who might want to connect with you, because maybe they have something similar, or it might be somebody who eventually might want to come and volunteer or might want to actually be a recipient of some of your services? Do you have an idea at all?
Yes. So that's a good question. And you touched on one key word, which is trust. Cause I know that when I started building my social media following about this book and promoting my book, I know that people needed to trust me, and I've built my following up to a pretty good amount right now. And I feel like I am already touching people, but I feel like, you know, the programs that I want to do that I've seen engagement in when I post my story, little bits of my story on social media, is centered around mental health and self-love. There's a lot of people that don't know what self-love is. They don't even know how to care for themselves. They feel like it's a selfish thing to be in love with yourself. No, it's not. You can love yourself. You have to love yourself first before others can love you. And I feel like if I can build a program around showing people that it's okay to, you know, go and get a massage if you can for about 45 minutes. It's okay to go get a manicure, pedicure, you know, and not feel guilty about it. I feel like some type of program around, you know, teaching people that along with mental health is two key things that I really kind of want to teach people and show people, because that's really all what my book is about, my entire book.
You know, and it's interesting about your nonprofit, because given where we are right now, you know, in the world with the coronavirus, you know, the pandemic happening and people still unsure. And even when we get through this, the mental and emotional, I think, challenges that people have gone through are going to be a little lasting after this is over. So I think what you're talking about around the self-love and the whole mental health piece is so important, because mental health is a subject that's taboo still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is still taboo even now.
Yeah.
And so I commend you on wanting to share your story. I commend you on wanting to have a nonprofit about mental health, about showing people, you know, first of all, that you don't have to have a stigma about it, number one. But number two, there are people out there who are willing to help you, who are willing to share of themselves. And so I commend you, and I look forward to being on this journey with you. I'm excited, because mental health is important to me too, because that's part of my story as well. My whole piece around emotional verbal abuse, and mine was physical as well, and the whole mental health piece and the suicidal, all of that. Mm-hmm. You were speaking my language. So I commend you for that. Is there anything else that you want the listening audience to know about you, your nonprofit, and your book?
Yeah. You know, I would just say to people out there that if you want to start a nonprofit, you know, really kind of like what you said, Sandra, is go back to the why. You know, there's always a why, and that why will actually keep you going, because I almost gave up on writing this book. I seriously, like, especially the third part of my book, I read it in four parts. The third part was the worst, the first and the third. And the third part, just bringing up those memories from 6 years ago, I was still like crying about it. I had to start meditating, because, you know, I didn't feel like I was going to finish. I took a lot of breaks from that third part, writing that third part. And
stop right there. I had to stop, because, yeah, I thank you for saying that, because so we're paralleling your book as we're talking about this nonprofit, but even when doing the nonprofit, those things are going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come up when you're working with your target audience. They're going to come. So thank you for even saying that, because if you haven't done your work, like you just said, you almost did not finish writing.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when the tools. Yeah. I mean, the tools is, you know, I used meditation. I used my Buddhist practice. I started writing down of affirmations, you know, like this book will be successful. This book will help somebody. And I really just, it's all, I believe, I truly, truly believe it's in your mind. It's all in the mindset. If you can condition your mind to think the opposite of what the negativity, you can accomplish anything. I truly believe that. I'm living proof of that.
And so I'm so glad that you were vulnerable enough to say that, because even for me, that's why one of the reasons why my nonprofit did not succeed because I wasn't totally prepared for the things that came down the pike with my nonprofit. I wasn't totally healed. And while we were on this journey and we're ever evolving, you have to be ready for when you're dealing with your target population, you know, things that may come back up and see you, like be a mirror for you, because it's going to be a mirror for you. And you have to be ready for that when you're starting your nonprofit. Even when you're bringing on board of directors or staff to work with you, some of those folks may even be a mirror for you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not ready to deal with that, it is going to stop you in your tracks. So I appreciate you sharing that part of your story about your book, because it is the same thing for the nonprofit. You have to be ready. But if you have the tools, like you just said, you know, therapy is a good tool, by the way. So you can use therapy, you know, even having a good coach or, like you said, meditation, whatever it is for you, that's going to help you mentally to move forward. Because if this is something important to you, you're going to keep going. You're going to keep doing it and taking the breaks as you need it. Because Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither were your nonprofit or that book. It is okay to, you know, to take the break. So thank you so much, Lauren, for sharing your story with us. And I am excited about this nonprofit, especially, like I said, because of the mental health aspect of it and the whole piece around love. Because at the end of the day, that's what we give back to the world, you know, service and love. So how can people find you or find your book? And because we already know when the nonprofit gets started, it's going to be all over your social media anyway. So let's talk. So how can they find you?
So I am launching a website that's going to be a large website under my name, which is laurenpatterson.com. But right now they can find me under freeingyourheartforlove.com, which is where you can pre-order the book and you can learn about the book and a little bit about me. So those are the two websites that people can find me. And my social media handles are on the website as well, if you want to follow me on social media.
Lauren, thank you so very much. I thank you for being vulnerable. I thank you for sharing your why. And I thank you, you know, even for talking about your book and how we could actually parallel the two together. I think your journey has been amazing. And to all of my new nonprofit founders, and those who are interested, just, you know, remember that, again, there are going to be some challenges. Remember your why. Remember, what, you know, who your target population is. And if you don't know that, then let's discover that together so that you can actually become successful and that you can be sure that you are not only hitting your targets, but that you are also servicing the people that are near and dear to your heart. So I want to thank you for listening to this episode of The Prophet in the Nonprofit. To receive a free 25-minute consultation from yours truly, please visit my website at sandrachaney.com. And remember this, an inspired and successful nonprofit leader is a leader who remembers their why and works from the inside out, because it truly is an inside job. Thank you so much for listening.